live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 19th day of August, 2026. I'm absolutely thrilled to have two guests on today who have been on the program before, and they are two very crucial individuals to the existence and live streaming of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because I have on the program today the founder and chairman of the board and the president of First Love Ministries, the ministry that oversees First Love Radio and a number of other wonderful ministries under the umbrella of First Love Ministries. First of all, we have the founder and chairman of the board of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California, Pastor Joe Jackowitz. It's a joy to have you back on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Joe. And Joe has himself muted.
Joe, you're muted, brother.
You're muted. We cannot hear you, Joe.
The joy is mine.
Oh, now
the joy is mine. And now the smile is mine, too.
Great.
And thank you, Chris, for having us.
And just to let you know, Joe, you are a little fuzzy now. I'm not sure why. Your voice doesn't sound crystal clear like it did earlier when we tested our connection. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. But
how's that better?
No, it's not, actually. But do you agree with me, Tom? Is he a little fuzzy?
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy. I don't know why.
I don't remember you wearing headphones before. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Okay,
That's much better. That's much better. Tell our listeners something, first of all, about Christ Bible Church of Pleasanton, California.
Christ Bible Church has been around since 1990 at its founding, and I've been its pastor since its founding 37 years ago. It's been a joy and a privilege to minister to Northern California. We are located in Pleasanton, California, which is in the East Bay, directly across from San Francisco, about 30 miles east of San Francisco. And we have our hands full here in the People's Republic of California. And so you guys, we're doing double duty out here in California, representing the cause of Christ and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a joy. It's a joy to be able to reach out to souls who are hungry and thirsty for the word of God. We have a growing church, and we have a multi-ethnic church, and we are Reformed Baptist in our theology, polity, and our confession. And so we have been here for quite a while, and Christ Bible Church is supportive of First Love Ministries. We started First Love about 35 years ago, and with just one ministry, a literature ministry, and three other ministries have been added since then, a radio ministry, which you folks are enjoying right now, and a missions ministry in which we have five branches of missions ministry throughout the world, in a few of which are in Nigeria, Nepal, the Philippines, Kenya, and India. And we have missionaries there. And we go there about three times a year overseas and conduct pastors' conferences. Our specialty is pastors' conferences. We give out free literature. Everything is free at First Love. And we have Grace Bible University, where we teach and train pastors and believers in the Word of God. We have an associate's degree we offer through Grace Bible University. You can get all the detailed information if you go to firstloveministries.org. I would suggest our listeners grab a pencil and paper, because we're going to be giving that website address out quite a bit through the show. Right, Chris?
Yes.
And firstloveministries.org.
And let me also let you know of the website for Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. That's ChristBibleChurch.church, ChristBibleChurch. Well, that's what it says right on my screen.
Well, your screen's wrong.
Well, what do you have? I didn't even type that in. I just...
Well, somebody made a mistake, but it's ChristBibleChurch.org, ChristBibleChurch.org.
Okay.
If you're looking for a church...
Go ahead. I'm just saying that... your webmaster, perhaps unbeknownst to you, has also included ChristBibleChurch.church, because when I typed in .org, it automatically switches to ChristBibleChurch.church.
Yes, Houston, we have a problem. So we'll check up on that after.
Well, as long as you got to the website.
It works. It works.
Either one might work.
But anyway, one thing that Joe did not say, we have discussed this on the program before. Joe is not only a Jewish believer in Christ Jesus, but he is also a confessional Reformed Baptist, which makes him rarer than a Bigfoot sighting. So I just thought I'd remind our listeners about that. And we also have the honor and privilege of having the president of First Love Ministries with us today, Tom Smith. It's a joy to have you back on the show as well.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It's a joy being here. And I've enjoyed working with Pastor Joe these almost 15, 20 years with First Love Ministries. And thank you for hosting us. Thank you for having us today.
Well, it is always a joy twice a year, with few exceptions, to see Tom attending my biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheons in Perry County, Pennsylvania, specifically most often at Church of the Living Christ in Aloysville, Pennsylvania. And Tom makes the long drive from Virginia to Perry County, Pennsylvania, to set up a booth for free books of First Love Publishing. And perhaps you might want to inform our listeners a little bit about First Love Publishing.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. First Love Publishing is one of the arms of First Love Ministry. It's like a four-peg stool, I call it. And we currently print books. And as Joe mentioned, we distribute our books for free. Our current warehouse in the United States is in Milton, Florida. And you can go online again at firstloveministry.org, click on publications, and you can order up to two books per month, and we will send them to you free at no cost. We also are printing books, as Joe mentioned, we go overseas. So we printed books in the Philippines, we printed books in Kenya, we printed books in Nigeria. And what we do there when we go for these conferences and pastors' conferences, we will print books there. We find it more cost effective to print them there and distribute them at these locations. Recently, I just got back from Nigeria, and we printed a couple books there and distributed several hundred copies to the attendees of these conferences. So it's a blessing to give away this literature at no charge.
Amen. And just so our listeners are fully aware of the quality, not only of the contents, which is the most important thing, the quality of the theological presentations of biblical truth, by some of the greatest minds within the Christian church, not only from centuries past, but even some modern living authors that are faithful to the scriptures. But the actual quality of the binding, the covers, the typesetting, this is all very high level. So people might think you get what you pay for when they hear about free books. These are outstanding, high quality publications in every way. And we thank you for making sure that some of the greatest literature of the Christian faith is being preserved in a manner worthy of its contents. So just wanted to make sure our listeners know that this isn't just some horrible looking stuff that they're getting. Well, the main reason that we not only have you two on today, but we're also going to be, God willing, having all of your speakers for an upcoming conference on the program over the next few weeks, most of the days, actually, with the exception of those dates that have already been booked by other guests, we're going to be featuring different speakers from the next First Love conference that's going to be held September 17th through the 19th in Pleasanton, California, I believe at Christ Bible Church. This is the second annual First Love West Coast Bible Conference. So, Joe, why don't you tell us all about this conference?
Well, the conference this year has the theme of end times watchfulness. End times watchfulness. I'm sure most of your listeners are very concerned with the growth of evil, immorality, perversions on every level, corruption. It's incredible the amount of wickedness and evil that is taking foothold in our nation, especially in our churches, with the apostasy of the church. I'm not a date setter, but I can tell you right now with dogmatism that we're in an apostasy. The church is apostate. You know, I'm not one who likes to point fingers and condemn and to discourage, but when you look at every angle of the church in terms of its Great Commission, its so-called holiness, its responsibility to be faithful spiritually, we look at primarily an apostate church. Not every church, thank God. But
yeah, you're the pastor of one, so you better clarify that.
Yeah, it's a rare occasion, like in the case of our church or Tom's church or your church, Chris, where a church is not apostate. But I would say most churches, I'm not going to put a percentage on it. I would say over 50%. Of the church is apostate. The evangelical church, we're not talking about high churches, the large denominations that just go through the motions, the clerical, formulaic church. I'm talking about evangelical churches that are supposed to be stewards of the gospel, the good news of salvation. You can't hardly find a Christian today that can recite what the gospel is, that can define the gospel. We're living in such a famine of the word of God in the land. And so the conference is designed to wake people up to a place of watchfulness. We are commissioned to be watchmen on the walls and protect the gospel and protect a lifestyle of holiness and to warn believers to walk with God in righteousness and godliness and to be ready for his soon appearing. To have confidence before him at his coming. And so this conference is designed to be a wake-up call to believers of all denominations, especially to pastors. We want to focus on pastors. And this conference is going to take place beginning on Thursday, the 17th of September, Friday the 18th, and Saturday the 19th. Now, on the Friday portion of the conference, beginning at 12 noon, we're going to have a 2 or 3 hour pastor's little retreat where pastors will gather and have a pastor's time at the conference. We'll be giving away several thousand books, Chris, on topics related to holiness, the perseverance of the saints, the importance of maintaining oneness with God, fellowship with God, to maintaining a faithful relationship with the local church, and high activity in evangelism, personal evangelism, all of the areas of body life, church government, evangelism, holiness, learning the scriptures, representing God's claims and interests in the world. We're going to be exhorting, encouraging, and teaching every church member that comes, every Christian that comes, to be watchful until the end of the world or until the Lord takes them home. I'm especially concerned about pastors because I want to know who's watching them. You know, we have pastors preparing sermons and counseling people and visiting hospitals, answering phone calls, carrying burdens of people. But when was the last time a pastor got alone with God? Not to prepare a sermon, but to seek his face for the sake of his own soul. I'm very concerned about the spiritual life of pastors, because how can they feed the sheep unless they're getting fed? And that's why the scripture says, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock of God. And we need to listen to that order. First, we need to take heed to ourselves, and then the flock. And so I asked the pastors, and I'm, you know, with my Jewish background, I like to use Yiddish once in a while, Yiddish expressions. I like to weave it into my sermons. It at least helps me keep people awake. You know, where is the chutzpah of the pastors? The boldness, the temerity, the risk, the faith of pastors that are required to keep their own heart alive and well, so that their heart doesn't grow cold. You know, we can defend sound doctrine while we lose the tenderness of Christ. We can warn others about sin while we're secretly tolerating sin ourselves. That can't happen if you're a pastor. Yep. That cannot happen. And so before you watch the flock, you need to watch your own soul. Pastor, when was the last time you watched your own soul? I've been a pastor for 43 years. And there's never a time that we become journeymen. We're always apprentices in the school of first watching our own soul. So if you're backslidden in the ministry, Pastor, you need to return to the Lord. You need to watch your own soul first and therefore watch your flock. You need to return to Christ. You need to confess your coldness. You need to recover the secret place. The church doesn't merely need your sermons. They need a shepherd who walks with God. So return to your first love. Come on now. We need to be watchful until the end of the world. If you're not going to do it now, just before Christ returns, when are you going to do it? On your deathbed or 10 minutes before Christ comes, which we don't know about? Come on, pastors. Let's get with it.
All right. I'm going to have Tom now explain or describe some of the, or actually all of the speakers that will be featured at this upcoming conference. First of all, Glenn Nicholas is a individual that I have yet to interview on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. I'm looking forward to having him on the program. If you deem him so highly that you would feature him at a First Love Ministries conference, he must be good. But tell us, Tom, about Glenn Nicholas.
Yeah, let me just point out again on the schedule, the actual time with the pastors is going to be on Friday, Friday at noon. And I would encourage everyone to go to our website again, firstloveministries.org. And right on the front page, you can click on the schedule, the flyer, you can register for the conference. So it's on a very important subject, as we've already talked about. Christ is coming. Are we ready? I don't know Pastor Nichols personally. A lot of these pastors that are coming are from the California area. I'm from Virginia, Brother Chris, as you know. and so I'm one of the outsiders coming from the East Coast. But I don't recall meeting Glenn Joe last year, but he might be one of our speakers. I know you know him, being from California. Several of our speakers, in fact, majority of our speakers are from the California area, who partner and work with Pastor Joe there.
Okay, Joe.
Then. So I'm looking forward to meeting some of these myself.
Joe, yeah, perhaps we
made an effort this year to most of our pastors and speakers are from the local area. We really want to build up the local fellowship of pastors and our local churches here in Northern California, which are under assault or under attack all the time with false teaching, false gospels, and temptations and pressures to live a lukewarm, complacent life. So we're trying to do two things: encourage the church at large across the world, but also local pastors in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. Glenn Nichols is a good friend of mine. He's a Reformed Baptist pastor that has a church about 15 miles away from where we are located in Pleasanton. He's for 20 years, he's pastored there in the East Bay town of San Lorenzo, which is a few miles away from Oakland and about 20 miles east of San Francisco. He's been a faithful pastor, married, has a child, and he is helping us in Northern California hold the fort down until the Lord comes.
Okay, how about Jim Billings?
Another local pastor, Jim Billings. He's the co-pastor of Grace Bible Church, which used to be called Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. I think it's Grace Baptist Church now. Pastor W.R. Downing, retired from being the pastor of that church for over 20 years. And Pastor Jim Billings and Pastor Stephen Lewis, now co-pastor, Grace Baptist Church there in Morgan Hill, which is about an hour, about 60 miles south of Pleasanton, California. They're very faithful brethren. That church has been around for about 30 years or so. They're a very good church, Grace Baptist Church in Morgan Hill, California.
And by the way, I just wanted to slip in a wonderful personal commendation for William Downing, the previous pastor of that church. He is one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for? He is one of the most underrated, brilliant men of God alive today. And many more people should be aware of him. They should look for his sermons wherever they may be found, perhaps in sermon audio. William Downing, D-O-W-N-I-N-G. And I know that he has written a number of books, including Baptist catechisms and other things for First Love Publications.
And you can get books, order those books from our website, Chris. Yes. So, yes, we have several of his books we printed.
And if anybody wants...
Bill Downing. Dr. Bill Downing is very humble. He doesn't try to make a name for himself. He doesn't promote his ministry or his name, but God has used him mightily. He's one of my mentors. He officiated at my ordination in 1985, and he has written over 20 books. Three or four of those books we have already published, like Systematic Theology and a book on hermeneutics, or how to interpret the Bible, which is the best book on hermeneutics I've ever seen, even in comparison with the classic books written by Bernard Ramm and Verkler, some of these hermeneutics books that they use in Bible college and seminary. He's written an over 500-page book on hermeneutics that covers everything from A to Z. 100 of those pages are on the history of Bible interpretation, which is worth its weight in gold by itself. We published that book. We published another book, Introduction to Theology, which is a shorter book than the Systematic Theology book, about 100 pages, and just covering the basics of Christian doctrine. He's written a book that I hope we can publish, Tom, someday, on the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, a biography about the Apostle Paul. Unbelievably powerful book, which isn't even published yet anywhere. So we're basically at First Love his publisher. He's given us not exclusive rights, but we have a very close relationship, with Dr. Downing. And he is, like you said, an underrated man of God as a writer, as a preacher. You need to hear Dr. Bill Downing. I invited him to the conference. So don't shoot the messenger. I invited him, and he just couldn't make it this year. He's 85 years old. His health is going down, but he's still pastoring. He's still preaching. And you can't keep this brother down. He himself would say, well, Brother Joe, I'm just an old German pushing on. And he certainly has a strong constitution, that's for sure. But hopefully, God willing, next year, he'll be back on our speakers list.
And if anybody wants to hear interviews that I've conducted with Pastor William Downing, also known as Bill Downing, just type in D-O-W-N-I-N-G in the search engine at ironsharpensironradio.com, and you will hear previous interviews I've conducted with William Downing. That's D-O-W-N-I-N-G. And he is no longer doing this because of his age, but he he was an avid wild boar hunter and used to hunt wild boar by hiding in a tree, waiting for a boar to pass beneath him, leaping out of the tree onto its back and stabbing it to death. So just to let you know, that's why he had a nickname for decades, Wild Man Bill. Or was it Mountain Man Bill? Was it Mountain Man Bill, I think?
I think it was Mountain Man.
Right, right. You wouldn't think that a brilliant theologian would have that as a pastime, but he certainly did. And, well, anyway, how about Conley Owens, Pastor Joe?
Conley Owens, another good friend. He's pastor of the Silicon Valley Reformed Baptist Church in Sunnyvale, California, which is about 30 miles south of Pleasanton. Again, it would be in Silicon Valley, the home of the computer capital of the United States, and in what we call the South Bay area. But it's smack dab in the middle of Silicon Valley, and he pastors a growing Reformed Baptist congregation there. And Conley Owens is an engineer, a software engineer by trade, but he's full-time in the ministry now. He has 9 children, and he's a dear brother. He is one of the leaders of a ministry called Selling Jesus that exposes the shame and the sinfulness of the commercialization of marketing all things Jesus and for a price. And he does a great work. So if you wanted to get familiar with his work, just look up Conley Owens and Selling Jesus. And he will be one of our speakers. And
finally, you have Ted Mendoza on the roster.
Ted Mendoza is the pastor of the church that is going to host our conference this year. We're going to be meeting in his church in Pleasanton.
Oh, so I was wrong. It's not Christ Bible Church then. I'm sorry.
It is. We rent from them.
Oh, okay.
In the same building.
Okay.
Same building.
Yeah. So technically you're right, brother. You got 100 on the test so far. But he is the pastor of that church. He's a Reformed Baptist along with his co-pastor, Mike Wilson. They do a good work there. And we're working closer and closer together, hosting meetings and conferences and events. But he preached last year at our first annual West Coast First Love Conference, and we've asked him to come back. He does a great job, is an excellent speaker. And Ted, Brother Ted, yes.
And we have one of your speakers, the last one, is actually one of our guests today, Tom Smith. I'm surprised I don't see you on the roster, Joe.
Joe's on the first page. Go up one page, Chris.
Okay.
And, I can vouch for a couple of these people.
Oh, now I see it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Paul Nelson will be speaking. Paul is our current president of Grace Bible University. He actually was trained and mentored by Dr. Bill Downing. So you got a little Bill in Paul. And Paul is an excellent speaker. If you haven't heard Paul preach, you've missed a blessing. He's very active. I've gone on mission trips with him, particularly in Nepal. He's worked very hard to get books translated and train men in Nepal. But we're looking forward to seeing Paul, and he's a wonderful wonderful Christian and a wonderful preacher and teacher of God's word. And the next one I know very well is Dr. Edward Dalcor. I think you've had both of these on your show previously. Yes. Dr. Dalcor, of course, is, I call him the walking Bible man, the walking Bible answer man. He's president and director of the Department of Christian Defense, a great apologetist. He's the vice president of our Grace Bible University. And he currently is right now in Nepal teaching pastors there from Dr. Downey's book on the Catechism of Bible Doctrine. So I've been with him many times on the mission field. He was in Nigeria teaching apologetics, some of the false religions there. So you will be blessed by hearing and coming and hearing Dr. Dalcor as well. Those are two I can vouch for, as well as Pastor Joe, but he can speak for himself.
I've also had Max Doner, one of your speakers, on my program. It's way back in 2015.
Yes, Max is an old friend going back 35 plus years. He will be with us, God willing. He wrote a 2-volume commentary from an Amil perspective on the book of Revelation. It's an excellent commentary. He will be there to give out free copies of his 2-volume book on Revelation. It's a high quality production physically, but he spent many, many years writing this book and painstakingly putting together the exposition and the application of this commentary. He's given out hundreds and hundreds of these books at his expense. So if you want to get a free copy of that 2-volume commentary on Revelation and talk with Max and his wife, be there. At the conference, he'll set up a table. He'll be one of the speakers. Also, by the way, First Love Ministries will be giving away, for the first time in our 30-plus year history, thousands of books. Thousands. We're going to give away triple the amount we gave away at last year's conference. And for this radio show, which we only have an hour and a half left, so you need to get your email out ready to go, we're giving away a classic book written by J.C. Ryle, and both of you brethren know him very well, titled Holiness. If there's any time in the history of the world that the message on holiness needs to be communicated and needs to be spread far and wide, it's in our day and age. Our church needs to hear the message on holiness. If you will write in today, and that's just for people who I get an email where it has today's date on it, I will give you 2 copies of the book Holiness by J.C. Ryle. And with today's book prices, you know what that costs. Just go to any Christian publisher and try to buy that book for less than $15, $20 a copy. If you will write an email to us, write to Chris's email address. He'll give it out in a second. We will send you 2 copies free and postage paid of the book Holiness, so that when you come to our conference, you can share testimonies. I gave out those 2 books, and we have backslidden Christians reading them, and you can share that with us.
And by the way, we do have one more speaker that we haven't addressed, Owen Alford. Why don't you tell us about Owen?
Owen is our co-pastor at Christ Bible Church. He and I have been co-pastoring here for almost 30 years. He's been here 28 years. I've been here, it'll be 37 years. So we've been together 60 years combined, a wonderful labor of love together as pastors of Christ Bible Church. Owen is, what can I say about Owen? He's my best friend. I'll just put it to you that way. The man is very knowledgeable in the Word of God, very humble. He is just a sheer delight to fellowship with. He really knows the word. He's one of the finest men I have ever known.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break right now. And if you would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question is involving a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own church about eschatology or the end times or last things, and you don't want to publicly identify yourself. I can understand reasons like that may compel you to remain anonymous, but if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Brian. Ryan McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, this is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron radio, and our guests today, our two guests, are the founder and chairman of the board of First Love Ministries and First Love Radio, Joe Jackowitz, who also happens to be pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. And we are also joined by the president of First Love Ministries and First Love Radio, Tom Smith, who always, at least 99% of the time, mans a free book table for First Love Publications at the biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which is most often held in Perry County, Pennsylvania, at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And we are discussing today the very provocative theme, End Times Readiness, and that is also the theme of their upcoming 2026 First Love Ministries Bible Conference on September 17th, 18th, and 19th in Pleasanton, California. And once again, to find out more details on this conference, go to firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org. But Pastor Joe, as you know full well, discussions on the end times, the last things, eschatology, very often create more heat than light in the body of Christ because they very often spark vehement disagreements, arguments, and so on. It is one of the most, sadly, one of the most divisive issues in the body of Christ, next to music, I think. So tell us about why this is such an important issue for you, and so much so that you have focused a very important conference on this major theme.
I think there's a lot of wrong reasons why people focus on end times theology and eschatology and the teaching in the Bible about the second coming of Christ. And many of them are deluded. They're deceived. They're blinded in a place of debate and argumentation about the time of when Christ will come. And they go conference hopping from one conference to another concerning being the second coming when they themselves are not ready. And so if someone would ask me what exactly we're trying to accomplish with the the theme of end times watchfulness for our conference, where it's not because of we're trying to set everybody straight doctrinally, but because there's so much debate over it, and we're never going to win an argument about prophecy anyway, because people are very much tied into their beliefs, and we're not going to be focusing on date setting because no one knows the time nor the day nor the hour when Christ will come again. But the same Jesus who forbids predicting the end of the world commands preparation for his second coming. He says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." And a person can believe in the second coming on paper and live all week long as though Christ will never come. They're so comfortable. And we call that practical atheism or practical unbelief. So we want to disturb sleeping saints. We want to disturb spiritual sleep among many so-called believers. You know, our church, Chris, is filled with a massive amount of nominal professing Christians who are lost in the church. And we want to wake them up and shake them up, because we're asking, if Christ would appear today, what sin would you desperately wish you had forsaken yesterday? Is it pornography? Is it adultery or lust or bitterness or greed or hypocrisy or prayerlessness, dishonesty or secret compromise that people keep postponing repenting of? Because when Christ comes, brother, that's it. There's no second chance. There's no going back. And so we need to be asking questions as leaders in the church. What duty, what responsibility have you delayed because you assume you own tomorrow, that you assume you're okay? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to warn? Who do you need to evangelize? Who do you need to go to and put your arm around and say, "Look, brother, you need to come out of your compromised lifestyle"? Because the Bible says everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. In other words, if we're walking with God and keeping short accounts with him, biblical expectancy is one of God's instruments of holiness to keep us on the narrow road that leads to life. And therefore, we need to be watchful. And so, but the unsaved, say many of your listeners, the unsaved listener, who's listening to Iron Sharpens Iron right now, believes that everything's okay. And but they must understand that watchfulness is not moral self-improvement. It's reconciliation with God. It's walking with him in holiness and godliness. The judge who is coming is the Savior who has already come. He is Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect, obedient life to the commandments of God. He died in the place of sinners and rose from the dead and receives anyone who comes to him in repentance and faith. And we need to extend the call to unsaved people who are lost in the church that will come out to the conference and hear the good news of salvation, because so many of our church members in Reformed Baptist churches, in Reformed Presbyterian churches, in conservative churches, are lost because pastors are compromising and they are not preaching the full, balanced gospel of Christ. And so we need to call people back to the true gospel. We need to call people back to holiness. We need to call upon lost people in the church who are standing upon their good works in order to be saved, to put their trust alone in the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and be watchful over their souls, be watchful over their theology, be watchful about what they believe and where they go and what they look at, and remain faithful until the second coming of Christ.
Yeah, oh, amen.
Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Chris, I mean, one of the things that I like about the subject, we're not talking about eschatology like some will think, you know, timing. Is it pre-mill? Is it all? But we all agree that Christ is coming. And we all agree that he teaches. He teaches, the apostles teach, that we need to be ready. And that's the key. We need to be watchful, to be ready. Many of the parables our Lord gave was about the unjust servants who began to beat beat their servants, thinking their master was delayed. Many of us Christians have become complacent because Christ has delayed. Well, why has delayed? Peter tells us because he's being long-suffering. He's still got people. His elect he's going to bring home. But we don't know the day or the hour, and we're always told to be ready. Now, someone my age, I recognize I'm probably pretty close to death. You know, as we get older, that reality hits me as well. After it pointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So I've got to be ready to meet Christ every day. Paul says he died daily, realizing this might be his last day. So whether Christ comes today or I die today, we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready to meet our Maker.
All righty. We have a question. Well, actually, it's two questions and a comment. We have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, and Cindy asks, I wonder what the specific eschatological positions that are held by your two guests, and perhaps whether or not all of the speakers at the conference hold the same view. And I'm most curious because of the Jewish background that was mentioned by Chris Arnzen earlier of your guest, Joe Jackowitz. So there you go.
Well, thank you for that wonderful hot potato question. It's not really a hot potato. It's very simple, but we don't make eschatology and the second coming a test of fellowship. But just to give you my beliefs in a nutshell, first of all, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, okay, obviously. I would be classified, if I could be nailed down, as a positive amillennialist. I know that sounds like a contradiction in terms. Amillennialism teaches that things will get worse and worse as we get closer to the second coming in terms of the events of the world, the signs of the times. Generally speaking, things will get worse. But Sam Waldron, who's a Reformed Baptist theologian, wrote a book on eschatology. He was brave enough to take up the subject. And basically, the theme is positive amillennialism. That is, there's positive aspects about the second coming of Christ rather than just all doom and gloom. I would advise you guys getting a copy of that book and reading it by Sam Waldron. And I forgot the title of it again, but the theme running throughout is positive amillennialism. In other words, things are going to get worse and worse, but there are positive elements about it where Christ will preserve his church. No one's going to lose their salvation. And God's going to preserve the grace and joy of the Christian life in the person of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Spirit, the keeping of the Spirit, and the joy of the Spirit in his people. So there's that double-edged sword there. The Jewish part of it, I would just say this. I do not believe in what some would call replacement theology. That is, some would teach that the church replaces Israel in the Old Testament, and all of the promises that God made to Israel have now been fulfilled in the presence of the church and in the church of the new covenant that was officially instituted at Pentecost. I don't believe that, because all one needs to do is read Romans chapter 11, that has God forsaken his people whom he has foreknown, and many other statements in Romans 11 that teaches that Israel, yes, they will be blind. They are blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And that 2,500-year judgment of God against the Jewish nation, which is a very severe judgment and chastisement, will finally be lifted. And Zechariah teaches us that when Christ comes again, and not until his second coming, will the Jews say, what are those wounds on thine hands? And then he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. So the Jews will finally recognize Jesus Christ as their Messiah, whom their forefathers crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago, and 2,500 years ago, God poured out a spirit of blindness that they would have eyes but not see, ears but not hear, and that began a very, very millennial period process of strict judgment against the Jews, this veil over their eyes. But that veil is taken away in Christ, but it's over their eyes in Moses. And so I believe that all Israel, as Paul says, and so all Israel shall be saved. And it's literally when Christ comes again, their eyes will be opened. A miracle will take place. All of the Jews will simultaneously recognize worldwide, and if anybody can do it, God can do it, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Savior that their forefathers crucified, and they will be saved. They will be given saving faith in Christ. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yes, and just to point out, and I'm sorry, Tom, I just wanted to point out one thing, but that you could chime in, definitely. As you know, Joe, in fact, Joe and I were having a brief conversation before the program began about this. I would say, at least those that I have interacted with and those who I've read, the majority of all millennialists and postmillennialists believe that the church is the fulfillment of Israel, a holy priesthood and a royal nation and so on. But we would not categorize that or describe it as a replacement of the Jews as you did. I'm just saying what the majority that I know, and I know optimistic amillennialists and postmillennialists who agree with the final comments you were making about the promise and hope for the Jews before the return of Christ, that most would come to salvation, and some, even those that are really optimistic, especially postmillennials, believe every single Jew that is living by the time of the return of Christ will be a believer in Christ Jesus. But I just wanted to point that out. And I believe, Tom, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I my eschatology has gone back and forth, to be honest with you, Chris. I mean, I was an all-mill for many, many years. I think right now I'm probably more would be classified as a historic pre-mill, but I'm not dogmatic in that. You know, I've read both sides, I've studied both sides, but I don't really think that's a critical issue, to be honest with you, as we think about Christ coming back. You know, God's going to work it all out in history with the Jewish nation that you have been talking about. But I think as we've been talking, the main issue is, what are we doing about his return? How are we living? We can get into arguments about all the details of eschatology and God's timeline. I don't think that's profitable in many cases. I think we really need to focus, are we living a holy life right now, witnessing for Christ, living for Christ, having an influence on others positively for the gospel? And I think that's what we need to focus on. I think that's the focus of the conference. It's not on eschatology per se. It's on how are you living right now, knowing that you shall stand before Christ someday.
Yes. And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Cindy, as a result of this question, winning two copies, as you said, of Holiness by J.C. Ryle?
Cindy is winning two copies. She hasn't won. She's been graced two copies of the Holiness. yes, Cindy, leave us your mailing address and we will send you Holiness by J.C. Ryle. It is the best book I've ever read on the subject of holiness and sanctification. It's comprehensive. He addresses every single issue about crucifying the flesh, about resisting worldliness, and how to do it. It is the best thing. Every pastor worth his salt who knows about this book rises the importance of this book to the top of his priority list in terms of books that they give away to encourage people to live holy lives. So we're giving away two copies per caller. If you will call in.
You mean email.
Write in, rather.
Yes.
Send Chris an email. Don't have him fumbling for the phone. Send him an email and request your two copies of Holiness by J.C. Ryle, and we will mail those out to you tomorrow. You should have them within a week. You can give one to a friend who's living maybe a compromised life or backslidden, and you could read one yourself. We'll give you two free copies, compliments of First Love Ministries, and we will be giving that book away as well at the conference, Chris. And where can they get that? Well, you can also get it if you write, or if you look it up on our website at firstloveministry.org. On the website is all the conference information, 6 pages of conference information, the venue, when it will be held, where it will be held. There's local hotels that you can stay in here in Northern California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. We will have on there the speakers, the subjects they're going to address in terms of end times watchfulness, the major theme. Everything you want to know about the conference, go to firstloveministries.org. Right on the homepage, there's a link for the conference, but also sign up. You need to register. We need to know how many people to have food for and for other reasons to provide books and so forth. Please register if you plan on going to the conference, whether you're in New York or in California or in China. Go to our website at firstloveministries.org and register. It's free of charge. You don't have to pay any money. Just like salvation, Tom, it's free of charge.
That's right. It's all free. We just want you to register. No charge. No charge for the food. No charge for the books. We just want you to be there. Yeah.
Okay. We have Jay in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. And Jay says, when we talk about the readiness that we must have for the return of Christ, isn't that equally applicable to the most likely scenario that death awaits us before the return of Christ will ever happen? And if you want to
I would say, Chris, that that's somewhat true. We don't know when Christ is coming, although the parables and the warnings tells us to be ready for his coming. But we also look at parables like the rich fool, you know, who thought he could just reap up more and more riches, that Jesus said. And what did he call him? He called him a fool. This day thy soul is required of you. And he died that night. So in many senses, you know, throughout history, what, there's only been two people who didn't see death. Was it Enoch and Elijah? Billions of people have died and gone to their judgment day with Christ. We got to be ready for death. But at the same time, we got to be ready if Christ would come today. In both cases, there's a readiness that's applicable that we need to look at our lives and say, are we ready to meet our Maker?
And by the way, a part of one of Cynthia's questions was not answered. It was partially answered because Tom revealed he is a historic premillennialist, although he's not clinging to it tenaciously. And Joe is an amillennialist, an optimistic amillennialist. Are there any other views held by the other speakers that you're aware of anyway?
Oh, I think there's a smattering of them across the board. I'll make a deal with you. Come to the conference and ask them yourself.
There's a variety of views, I think,
There's a variety of views. Tom, I don't even know if Tom and Tom is Europe. Would you say you're a premillennialist?
A historic premillennialist. That's probably okay, the closest. I call myself a compassionate, understanding historic premillennialist.
And okay. Just to let
that would be a great question to ask during our Q&A panels. We're going to have two or three question and answer panels. But one of the speakers I would single out, I would nail him down either publicly or privately, Dr. Edward Dalcor, who's an expert on apologetics, but he also knows a lot about eschatology. If you have a question about the second coming, he's the go-to guy that you want to ask.
And just so our listeners are aware, especially the Reformed ones, although historic premillennialism today is a minority amongst Reformed Christians, it does exist. I know personally Reformed Baptists and even Orthodox Presbyterians who are historic premillennial. And historically, Charles Spurgeon held that view. And the Bonar brothers, Andrew and Horatius, were historic premill, and I am sure multitudes of others. Let's see, we have, something, what time is it? I'm going to go to our midway break right now. And when we return, I'm going to take a question from Josh in Larimore, North Dakota. In fact, I'll read you Josh's question, and you could think about it during the break. Josh in Larimore, North Dakota says, how would you communicate the one hope of Ephesians 4 is seen in different eschatological views? In short, the main truth is there, so don't major on the minors. I don't know if I am reading it grammatically incorrect or not, but how would you communicate the one hope of Ephesians 4 as seen, I think he must have meant, in different eschatological views? In short, the main truth is there, so don't major on the minors. Okay, well, I hope I read that adequately, and think about that, and we will return after these messages from our sponsors, so don't go away.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com, For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back. Before I return to my fascinating conversation with Joe Jackowitz, who is founder and chairman of the board at First Love Ministries and First Love Radio, who live streams this program every day, and also Tom Smith, the president of First Love Ministries and First Love Radio, before I return to that conversation on being end times ready, I do have some requests. I'm asking you, please, if you love the show and don't want it to go off the air, to visit ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, as many people do, mailing a physical check to a physical mailing address from your post office, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And as much as I am urging you all out of our urgent need for your financial support, to bless us financially here at Iron Trip and Zion Radio. I never want anybody to ever give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Trip and Zion Radio. In other words, please never cut in to the finances that you have specifically set aside and reserved for your Lord's Day giving in order to bless us. Never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you ever bless us financially with a gift. But having said that, if you do love the show and you don't want it to go off the air and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please, if you want us to continue to exist, share some of that money with us. Go to irontripandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically solid, and doctrinally sound church like Christ Bible Church of Pleasanton, California, I have helped people all over the planet Earth in my audience find biblically faithful churches, including on the continent of Africa, in the United Kingdom, in the Republic of Ireland, in Germany, in the Netherlands, in all 50 states of America. I could go on and on with the number of places where I have helped listeners of this program find biblically faithful churches. So no matter where you live, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, if you do not have a biblically faithful church home, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that is also the email address to send in a question to Joe Ajakowitz and Tom Smith of First Love Ministries as we continue to discuss end times watchfulness, which is also the theme of their upcoming conference, September 17th, 18th, and 19th in Pleasanton, California. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. And thankfully, Josh in Larimore, North Dakota, reworded his question since he admits he butchered the English language while hastily writing out his question. So what he says in his newly revised version of that question: I was trying to ask your guests how many people turn conversations from the mechanics of timing of end times events to the main subject, which is Christ returning. Our one hope can get lost in the debate sometimes, I think. And I do want to just briefly read those verses in Ephesians 4 to which Josh in Larimore, North Dakota, was referring. I, therefore, a prisoner — this is, of course, the Apostle Paul writing this — I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call: one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Anyway, that was Ephesians 4, 1 through 5. Actually, 1 through 6. Sorry about that. Joe, do you want to be the first to respond to Josh's question?
Okay. I think what we're looking at here is we have to look at this question in context, or else we're not going to understand what the apostle is saying. Ephesians 4:4 is part of Paul's larger appeal, his greater appeal for unity. in the Church of Christ, especially spiritual unity. If you go back to verse 4, he says, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And Paul is saying that there's three things closely connected here. He says there's one body, which is ultimately, there's ultimately one true church, the spiritual body of Christ, not the universal church per se, but the remnant church, the true church. There are many local congregations, there's many denominations, languages, natures, or nations and cultures, but everyone truly united to Christ by faith belongs to this one body he's talking about. And then he refers to one spirit. He's talking about the same Holy Spirit that regenerates, that indwells us, that sanctifies us and unites every genuine believer to Christ. And therefore to every other believer. This is the unity we have. Christianity is not something we manufacture organizationally. Fundamentally, it's something God has already created by his Spirit, and that's why Paul says in verse 3 that believers are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he gets down to the passage, I think, that our caller is referring to, is specifically says one hope of your calling in verse 4. And I think what he's talking about there is that every genuine Christian shares the same ultimate hope, which is the consummation of our salvation in Christ. That's the hope of our calling, the end of our faith. And he's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about glorification. He's talking about everlasting communion and union with Christ. And this is what connects beautifully with this idea of watchfulness, our conference theme. Our Christian hope looks forward to the appearing of Christ, and everything his appearing will bring. And so the larger context is especially important because Paul gives seven great unities in verses 4 through 6. And verse 4 is not teaching unity at the expense of truth. He's not saying throw truth out the window so we can have this unity. Paul is saying that because Christians already possess one Christ, one Spirit, one gospel hope, one Father, they must live in a manner consistent with that God-created unity.
Okay, anything to add?
Yeah, amen. And I just like to read from 1 John 3. He said, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, speaking of Christ, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope," and that is our hope, to see Christ and be like him, "purifies himself as he is pure." You know, and I have discussions with my all-male, pre-male, dispensational friends. We all finally come to the agreement that our ultimate hope is not in some kind of millennial thing, millennial view. Our ultimate hope is when we're with Christ. Revelation 21, new heaven, new earth. We dwell with Christ. We dwell with God himself. That's the hope of every believer.
And if I might add something, Chris.
Sure, go ahead.
I would call our pastor brethren and our fellow brothers and sisters back to a place of please stop arguing with one another concerning which view of your eschatology, your view of the second coming is right and wrong, because I think there's going to be a lot of professing Christians in hell suffering forever, being tormented in flames, that were stronger in their convictions about their view of eschatology, their school of thought, their specific camp about the second coming, amill, postmill, premill, that are not that concerned about holiness, about godliness, about watching out for their souls. And so we're calling Christians back at this conference to the larger issues of that relate to our eternal destiny, which is, am I saved? Am I living the Christian life through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Am I living a holy life? Not a perfect life. Nobody's perfect. But Christ Jesus is the answer in terms of justification and trusting him for sanctification so that we can live a holy life and be watchful and have the witnessing ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. and not get bogged down with this pharisaical, polemical debating all the time about these secondary areas of the Christian faith.
Now, having said that, I think there is a legitimate time and place to highlight our differences on eschatology and even vigorously oppose, because, for instance, you have hyper-preterists. I am a partial preterist myself, but hyper-preterism, even though I'm a partial preterist, I believe hyper-preterism to be a damning heresy. It is rejecting such things as the future bodily return of Christ and the future resurrection of the dead and so on. And you also have, and please don't misunderstand me, my dispensationalist friends, I am not broad brushing you all, but very often dispensationalist pastors, authors, and parachurch ministries tend to delight in sensationalizing their views to draw a bigger audience, to sell more books, etc. And they become almost one-string banjos. They tend to focus more on these, on their peculiar ideas of eschatology more than the gospel, more than anything else. So I think there is a time for criticism, but there has been overly harsh criticism and sectarianism where it need not exist. I believe that's what you were talking about, right, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. There is a place to defend the faith against extremist views of eschatology and the second coming. No doubt about it. Like preterism, you gave for an example.
Hyper-preterism, full preterism.
And that certainly cancels out the blessed hope, which is a major doctrine in the Christian faith. If you remove the blessed hope, you remove 95% of the encouragement we need during suffering and difficult persecuting times that many of the martyrs in the faith held on to as their only pillow of comfort as they were dying in flames being burnt at the stake. So don't take away my blessed hope by saying full preterism is true and that Christ came again at his second coming in 70 AD. That's an example of when we defend the true faith against an extremist view of the second coming. What I'm talking about are people who are unconverted usually or very ignorant, and they get caught up in these, they make mountains out of molehills, and they major on the minors, and they end up getting caught up in these debates and these arguments, and they end up violating the heart of the law, the weightier matters of the law, love, mercy, patience, grace, and they discount true brethren. And they dishonor and disrespect true brethren.
Okay. Were you going to say something, Tom?
No, I agree. I agree. I think we've got to defend the gospels, brothers. You know that. Justification by faith alone, death, burial, resurrection of Christ, the coming of Christ, and any time these eschatological hyperviews, I call them, distort the gospel, we must defend the true gospel of Christ at all times.
By the way, Josh in Larimore, North Dakota, responds to your answers by saying, amen, amen, and thank you, exclamation point. Please get us your full mailing address in the Larimore, North Dakota, so that these two copies of Holiness by J.C. Ryle can be shipped out to you.
And the goal there is that you share that book with others as well.
Yes.
Keep one for yourself and give one to a friend.
Yes. And we have Mark in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. And Mark asks, are there any specific teachers of the end times that you care to warn the listeners of this program about?
Well, there's about 947 of them. Well, we don't have time right now. These who make it their pet project, they're always, I would just say, watch out for any teacher that makes the second coming of Christ their pet peeve, their pet project, because many of them will use the second coming to perk the interest of many Christians, because most Christians are commanded to be watchful and to look out for the signs of the times. And there's a lot of false teachers and money grubbers and charlatans who will use their knowledge that many believers are very interested in the teaching of the second coming to use as an excuse to draw away disciples and money after themselves. So watch out for any teacher that makes it an extreme hobby horse in their teaching of the second coming, because not all the time, but usually behind that is some nefarious purposes. But I would say you want a balanced ministry. You want someone who focuses on the gospel, on the person and work of Christ, and on the fundamental major doctrines of the Christian faith, and a pastor and a teacher who's balanced with both an emphasis on word and on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We call this the regulative principle. Reformed Baptists really have it right when they emphasize the importance of the regulative principle, which means the word of God should regulate, quote unquote, every ministry of the church, but without the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon those word-oriented, regulated ministries, we end up producing Pharisees who are just law-only preachers. We need both the word and the Spirit, a faithful gospel that goes forth from a Spirit-filled preacher and teacher, which will, in the end, produce other Christians. Avoid preachers that make a major focus of their ministry teaching on the second coming in an imbalanced way.
Yeah, what's interesting too, Chris, is if you look at the description of false teachers in Peter and Jude, they don't really give names. I think the problem is at times you've got to, particularly if they're infiltrating your church. But I think if you start naming names, tomorrow there'll be another name that pops up, you know? So we have to have our discernment antennas up at all times, looking at those passages and others in the Bible that describe these false teachers so we can identify them and flee from them when we see them. So we have to have a lot of discernment, and certainly overemphasizing, sensationalizing all these things we talked about is an evidence that this is a false teacher. So we got to be very careful that we constantly observe any teacher to make sure they're not following the way of Balaam, so to speak. A lot of preachers are in it for the money. They're in it to sell their books. So that's all danger signs that this is likely a false teacher.
And don't we have to be careful, because this is one of the most prevalent notes or errors of ministries that focus much more on end times than anything else in the scripture, is that they tend to, not all of them, but they tend to use current events far too often as ways that they mold into the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, where the things that they are talking about are not specifically the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And I think that many of the eschatologically focused ministries and preachers know that it titillates the imagination and excites the listener for them to be reminded that they are actually in, they themselves and what they are seeing at their window and on their TV sets, on the news and on their computer screens, they are witnessing biblical prophecy being unfolded and fulfilled. And that excitement to believe you are part of the story of the end times in the Bible is a big motivation for selling books and getting audiences to grow to massive sizes. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, definitely. And I agree with you, Chris. And I think this is one of Satan's tactics to distract us from the real issue, which is the topic of the conference. Are you ready? Are you being watchful? You know, we can get all involved in predictions and all this, but that's not the real issue when it comes to how are you living your Christian life right now.
Well, we're going to our final break right now. And if you do have a question, send it in now or forever hold your peace, because we are rapidly running out of time. Although we do have other guests coming up in the very near future, in the weeks ahead, that are speakers at this upcoming conference in September that First Love Ministries is hosting. So if you have a question that we don't have time to read today, perhaps it will be read during one of our other interviews. But
could you give out the address or the information about the conference before we go to break real quick?
Yeah, sure. The website of where you can find out all the details of the conference is firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org. The conference is being held September 17th, 18th, and 19th in Pleasanton, California, and it's absolutely free, and there will be thousands of free books given away, and there will also be refreshments and lunch provided, which is always a big thing when people are at conferences. And this is being held at Christ Bible Church, 5901 Coronado Lane, Coronado Lane in Pleasanton, California. And once again, all of this information can be found at firstloveministries.org. And there's even a QR code where you can register. So you don't want to miss this if you live in the Pleasanton, California area, or anywhere on the West Coast where it is feasible that you can travel there. But anyway, we are going to be right back. And if you do have a question, send it in now, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. www.secureconcordiaconference.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
And don't forget, folks, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're ever the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend since 1991 and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco and Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to remind all men in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which will be held on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. Featuring for the very first time as our keynote speaker, Dr. David A. Harrell, who is pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Jolton, Tennessee, and he is the author of a number of books, including the book from which he is delivering his keynote address, which is titled Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. Everything is free, not only the admission and the lunch, and your opportunity to hear Dr. Harrell speak, and your opportunity to have fellowship with brethren in Christ and colleagues in ministry. But also, on top of all that, every man in attendance will receive one and possibly two heavy sacks of free, brand-new books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, including First Love Publications, represented here today by Pastor Joe Jackowitz, the founder and chairman of the board, and Tom Smith, who is the president of First Love Ministries, the parent ministry of First Love Publications. But all of this is free. Every single thing at the luncheon is free. In fact, under the strict orders of my precious late wife, Julie, and all the years that I have conducted these luncheons, including after she went home to glory to be with Christ for eternity, as I continue to conduct them in loving memory of her and in tribute to her, I always follow her strict instructions never to allow anyone to sell anything at the pastor's luncheon. She always said that she wanted these luncheons to become known to pastors as a place where they never had to worry about an ulterior motive by me or those that are leading the luncheon. She wanted pastors to know that they could rest assured that this was just a time of a tribute to them and a time of rest, relaxation, edification to them.
Yes.
And the luncheons have maintained in that order ever since she came up with the idea for them, and we launched them in the 1990s, originally on Long Island, New York, where I used to live. But please, any man in ministry leadership, if you want to be treated to a wonderful time of fellowship and free books, mark your calendars for Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. David A. Harrell, author of Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. and submit your registration to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Please include your full name, the full name of your church or ministry, and its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. And we are now back with my guests, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, who is the founder and chairman of the board at First Love Ministries, and Tom Smith, who is the president of First Love Ministries. We are talking about their upcoming conference, being end time ready. And we hope that you can attend that conference September. Actually, it's End Times Faithfulness.
Watchfulness.
Watchfulness. Yeah, watchfulness.
I'm looking right at it, and I said faithfulness. End Times Watchfulness. Sorry about that. End Times Watchfulness, September 17th, 18th, and 19th in Pleasanton, California. And we do have an anonymous listener. What is your counsel to me to approach my pastor for hobby horsing his particular views of the end times all too frequently, I believe, to the neglect of other far more weighty matters, especially knowing of the life of the particular congregation to which I belong? I think that's a very excellent question. Now, I don't know if this pastor happens to be in a series or something. He might be doing, expository preaching, and he happens to be in a certain area of the scriptures where he feels compelled to focus on eschatology. But this kind of sounds like this is a constant bombardment. But what do you have to say, first of all, since you're a pastor, Joe Jackowitz, how do you counsel this brother to respectfully and graciously approach his own pastor about this?
Well, he got the first half of it right. To be respectful, the scripture is very clear that we're to honor those to whom honor is due, respect to whom respect is due. And so the scripture said, they that labor in the word, we're to respect them. So your tone, your disposition, your attitude is very important. One of humility, one of listening, one of respectfulness. But clearly, to beat a dead horse and to put on a hobby horse of constant teaching on truths and doctrines related to the second coming is not going to provide the meat and the milk of ministry, the whole counsel of God. It's going to lead people spiritually malnourished. So what we want to do is we want to make sure, first of all, we're respectful, and the delivery system of bringing forth your concern, it's not as important as your attitude in doing it. Usually face-to-face is the best, because the way you could send an email or a letter, but usually when you go into a situation to advise a leader, someone with authority, not just the pastor, but maybe a politician, kings, the Bible says, all those that are authority need to be respected. You can disarm their maybe suspicion or their concern just by them watching your attitude, looking at your facial expressions and so forth, your humility. But you can't do that when you send an email. Somebody can send an email to you that sounds good, but if they were face to face, they go, Pastor, I don't want you to preach on this anymore. And, you know, when you're in their presence, you tend to be more respectful and come across better. So, but I would pray about it a lot. I would expect any answer because you can't determine the outcome. So you need to pray about it. But go to your pastor. There's no way to avoid the need for courage and boldness. You need to make sure you understand the issues at hand very clearly and that you're able to express and articulate your concerns clearly instead of humming and hawing for a half hour rather than coming to the point in 60 seconds. So that will help the pastor from getting impatient. So those are some of the principles I'd use beforehand, pray a lot about it, you know, get humbled, and then articulate your concern succinctly. Be as positive as you can. You know, Pastor, I appreciate your ministry. I've been here as a member for so many years and you've helped me. But recently I've been concerned about something that I need to bring to you. You need to go to him and not to other people. Otherwise, you'd be gossiping. You can cause a church split. And you need to, you know, just let him know that you're concerned that he's spending too long of a period of time on end times teaching at the exclusion and to the demise malnutrition of the body on other important, weightier matters that you should be addressing. It's not wrong to talk about end times teaching because it's in the Bible. So eventually we got to get around to it, especially if we're preaching expositorily. Usually there's a passage or two or a section or two that relates to the second coming that's going to come up in a book that a pastor's preaching through verse by verse. And he has the opportunity to address that. And you just should wait for him to get to it. But otherwise, you know, I would say something along the lines of, Pastor, you've been in Revelation 1:1 for 6 years now. and am I to expect that you're going to be going through the whole book of Revelation verse by verse before you move on? You know, and say, look, you know, would you consider, Pastor, you know, taking a break from a long series on eschatology for a few months and address some of the urgent pressing needs of the body on doctrines like the Trinity, the deity of Christ, or spiritual issues that have come up where people are starting to struggle. They're getting lukewarm. They're falling away. Members aren't attending because they're not getting exhorted and from the pulpit on very important teachings. So you can, you know, just make sure you really have your I's dotted and your T's crossed and spiritually, doctrinally, and you understand all the issues. Don't go in there and not know what you're talking about and end up leaving with your tail between your legs all embarrassed because you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Tom Smith, we only have about a minute for you to conclude with what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
I want to encourage our listeners to be ready for Christ's coming, to be watchful as the conference theme speaks of. And if you can make it to the conference, it would be a great blessing to you, a tremendous blessing, not only to the teaching, but also the fellowship. And by the way, if you can't make it all 3 days, if you can only make it 2 days or even just a Saturday, still come. We'll welcome you. You can only make it for part of the time. The main sessions are Thursday, late afternoon, evening, Friday evening, and all day Saturday. So come days that you can come. So I'd encourage you to come, encourage you to listen in to Chris's radio shows in the future, as we'll talk more about the different topics we'll be talking about, and make it your point to check our website and register and come to the conference.
Well, I have been delighted to have you two on the program, and I cannot ever thank you enough adequately for the way that First Love Ministries has benefited Iron Sharpens Iron Radio beyond description. And I just thank you for being so joyful and enthusiastic to live stream it every day. And I want to repeat the website of First Love Ministries. It's firstloveministries.org. You can find out all the information about the End Times Watchfulness Conference, September 18th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's 17th, 18th, and 19th in Pleasanton, California. Also, ChristBibleChurch.org is the website for Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. I also want all of you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.
Amen.